Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Holiday Monday. Hopefully you are enjoying what we are not. That is freedom, independence, and the ability to have a full day without work, or maybe two. We don't have that. I think we're off tomorrow, but I'm not sure. Barry is definitely off.
I think we're off tomorrow.
Are we?
I think so. I haven't seen an email. It's network programming tomorrow, right, Tyler?
Correct.
Yeah.
Let me introduce Tyler Scott. Nick Sciarra. Barry has decided to fly the coop and eat for 5 straight days.
Getting lazy on us.
Yeah. So he's out. So we've got some more usual suspects to join in. And you guys are welcome to join the fray. 713-780-ESPN. We were thinking about things that might catch your attention and might generate some interest. We had quite a few.
Yeah, there's a lot of food discussions. We're talking about like 4th of July food, 4th of July recipes.
What was your favorite part of 4th of July growing up?
For me, it was like just traditionally fireworks and the food. That's how it was for me. I mean, I really enjoyed fireworks as a kid. And I did like partaking in actually shooting fireworks. I didn't just always like to watch. But yeah, I mean, between the barbecue and the fireworks, that's what it's all about for
Tyler.
Me.
Yeah, probably the food.
Like where I grew up was a suburb outside of Milwaukee. We did like in the morning, kids all got jacked up about for like the night before, the day before. They decorated their bikes and then there was a big parade. And then after the parade, that's when the family stuff. You had a picnic or a couple families got together and then it culminated with the fireworks later that night. But it wasn't, I mean, I don't know. I guess it wasn't that big of a holiday.
Yeah. See, normally for me, it's really more about it. Initially started for the food because obviously when you're a kid, you can't drink. Now it's about the food and the booze. But I've always stuck to traditional foods like hamburgers and ribeyes on 4th of July. I always stuck to those two for some reason. This year, I want to do fajitas. So not that it's going to be a big part of the show. If you have like a fajitas recipe that you normally do on the grill, please text that in because I really want to try something different. I don't want to go with the usual. 713-780-ESPN for the text line. You can also call in on that as well.
Right. HRMP listener line. Call, text, hit us up on Twitter. At the producer, Nick. At Pac-Man Joel with a K. Tyler, what's yours?
At producer T. Scott.
At producer T. Scott. So let us know. We'll be checking everything throughout the show. News of the weekend that we didn't get to talk about. The weird, wild, and wacky trade of Paul George to, of all places, Oklahoma City. Did not see that coming.
Yeah, I didn't expect that at all.
Shocking, and you would think that teams like Boston, if not the Rockets, could have come up with a better package than Victor Oladipo and Sabonis, but that's what it took to get Paul George pried away from the Pacers. Monkey wrench in the, if you believe Daryl Morey, that he was having deep discussions with the Pacers to try and make a move. Time is running out. Now, Chad Ochocinco, not that he is the end-all be-all, is already out tweeting that his quote-unquote sources have informed him that Melo is indeed headed for the Rockets. We can get your thoughts on that because of the fact that that has long been rumored to be a match waiting. And we'll see what you think about that. But obviously, there's no defense.
What's your thoughts on the Paul George thing, though? I mean, do you think that he wants to stay there? Do you think he's really happy with going with OKC, or is this kind of like a trial period for him as well?
Would you?
With Russell Westbrook, I don't know his relationship with Russell Westbrook.
I've been to OKC.
And?
It's Tornado Alley for a reason.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think a lot of times you feel like it was torn down and never rebuilt. It is boring as hell. And the other big question is Westbrook going to stay? Because after next year, he can be free too. So he can either take the extra money by staying in OKC with a Supermax deal, or he can, what has been long been rumored, go back home where Paul George is from and go to L.A. And you're going to have two teams with money. The Lakers are going to have money. The Clippers are going to have money. So for everybody that thinks Paul George was a lock to go to the Lakers, supposedly growing up, he was a Clippers fan. And now with Chris Paul exiting, they're going to have money. So
ultimately, it's about what he wants. Is the money more important, or if he wants to win a championship? I'm sure both is important. I mean, you want to get paid. You want to win a championship. But staying in OKC, and as you mentioned, it's Tornado City.
Yep.
I don't know if I want
to. Tornado Alley, yeah. Well, and here's the thing, too. Both of them could end up going to the Clippers. Both of them could end up going to the Lakers. And they could make that work, so, you know. And it would be on the team to clear up the cap room if there was any cap issues. But we've seen, as recently as the Warriors, we've seen it work where you can fit two and three big-time, four contracts under one salary cap. If you're willing to take the cap hit for being over, so be it. But you create your super team.
Yeah. See, for my issue with the only issue with the OKC deal for me is that they have to make moves, obviously, because they didn't have really that much depth to begin with before adding Paul George.
I told you guys this before. I thought when they had Kevin Durant, they were the deepest team in the league. I thought once they lost Kevin Durant, they had a bunch of role players. But they do have players that are serviceable in this league. The thing is once you fall out of being a decent team in the West when you're at OKC, a small market team, it becomes that much more difficult to try and be relevant again. That's why Sam Presti gets a lot of credit. He made this trade, and then if he finds out between now and the trade deadline, hey, Westbrook's not going to resign, and or Paul George isn't going to resign, you can make moves to acquire what you need to rebuild on the fly so that you're not a disaster for years to come, like Sacramento. So he may get more at the trade deadline for Paul George than he gave up to get him from Indiana, because Indiana found out the market was drying up.
Right. That's an interesting dynamic, because I'm in terms of this year's free agency, that was like the player for me was Paul George. Realistically, for the Rockets in advance, like before they acquired Chris Paul, I thought that would be a realistic person to get. I don't know if he even wanted to play in Houston. As you mentioned, he is from LA, and I guess he was a Clippers fan. So I just thought he was the biggest name, not just from a name recognition standpoint, but from a skill standpoint that you go after. I thought it was interesting that he ended up at OKC, but I guess that's a decent duo. It definitely makes them a more star power friendly team that mm-hmm. the NBA is kind of. It's
well, they
already
say
in that
they're
direction.
Not done. They say now he's going for broke. Like, he may try and unload some other resources to try and bring in somebody else to try and say, hey, for one season until I know what these guys are going to do, I'm going to give OKC everything I got. I'm going to load up the team and then see if they all love it enough to want to stay. So he's doing what he needs to do to try and at least make them relevant for one last year until he can figure out when the cards are on the table. Because Paul George did the Pacers a favor in certain ways by laying his cards on the table saying, I'm not going to be here after next year. But then the Pacers found out quickly while they were shuffling through offers that once the draft passed, the offers were starting to dry up. Boston wasn't even willing to part with their number three pick or next year's pick they got from the Nets. They were like, no, we've moved on.
So this
on.
Was just like a desperate move, basically.
I think so, because if they didn't even get draft picks out of the deal. If you're trying to rebuild.
Yeah, you got to get draft picks.
You got to get some picks in the mix.
You
got to
get some draft picks.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. We'll see where it takes us from here. But the NBA hot stove has been fantastic. For as bad as the playoffs were, the offseason's been a lot of fun. But good Lord, the money is flying around. I thought that contracts in baseball were out of whack for years. But when you see guys getting the money that they're getting, it's ridiculous.
The Rockets signed the four-year deal with Millsap, and obviously I think the big one is Kyle Lowry, that the $100 million.
The Nuggets signed the deal with Millsap.
Oh, I mean, not the Rockets signed the deal with P.J. Tucker, excuse
right.
me,
yep.
my bad. And then obviously the, you know, Kyle Lowry getting that $100 million deal for three years.
And $100 million
crazy.
For Kyle Lowry. Last year's highest paid player in the league, Mike Conley Jr., who had never been an all-star, making $31.5 million. It's getting blown out of the water, left, right, backwards, and sideways. It's crazy money right now.
Yeah.
And it's just, where does it go from here? You know, the cap keeps going up. J.J. Redick, 1 year, signs with the Sixers, $23 million for next season.
It's only going to go up higher. And then Jimmy Butler has his opportunity to go crazy next year, right? Doesn't he have like a after next year in the event that he wants to sign a big contract? Is it Jimmy Butler? I think it's Jimmy Butler. After next year, he has the opportunity to go like get like a $200 million deal.
Well, the super deals are out there to be had. Like what Westbrook is qualified for a super deal. Chris Paul would be qualified for a super deal after this next season.
Yeah.
So guys like that are coming up with that opportunity.
I think you're gonna see
Westbrook is another guy.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of these huge contracts, I think, after next season. They're going to be massive. They're going to be even bigger than what you're seeing right now.
Tony wants to tell you about what you want to do with your fajitas. So let's bring Tony in here for the break. Tony, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'm sorry. Y'all are in Houston, right?
Yep. Sure are.
Okay. Go. I'm in a different city, so I didn't know. But go to one of those La Michoacana's little Mexican meat markets and go get their fajitas.
Oh, they're
and you don't have to marinate. You don't have to do anything. You just got to trim a little fat. And it is the best hidden gem in the city for cheap produce and everything like that. And that's all I have, guys.
Appreciate it, Tony.
Appreciate it. And I've heard of that before. Uh-huh. I'm not criticizing his. I appreciate the suggestion. It's kind of the lazy route. I'm trying to find like a recipe that you can make.
So you're going to marinate yourself?
I kind of want to. I don't know if I mean.
I can vouch for Tony, though. Those are damn good for you.
Are they really?
Yeah. And it's worth your time to not
mess with like cutting out the fat and all that.
Marinate it.
Like, how much is the upcharge from like just straight buying and doing it yourself?
Remember. Maybe like
if it's minimal, it probably is worth it, right? Saves you time.
It's really not that bad. And they have he's right about cheap produce. They have cheaper avocados there. It seems like.
Yeah.
So
no, but I've seen a lot of those Mexican meat cards. They are much cheaper with their produce. They're actually much cheaper with a lot of the like common produce, like bananas. Strawberry. I've seen that a lot. It's actually very common, and their meat that's not marinated isn't that incredibly expensive too. I know because I've dated a Latin girl before, so I know. But I kind of want to be a little creative because I know I'm not going to do anything but just sit around the house and drink. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm sure you're not. You're just going to chill with the five dogs and.
I got the family, bro. I told you. You missed the good years.
Yeah,
they're behind me now. I'm a family guy.
Well, Joe George wanted to party with you.
Yeah, but Joe George. Just based on the pose he's already got, he looks like he's already hungover and he hasn't started drinking yet, so that could be trouble. All right, so we got a full 3 hours to fill here, and you guys could be a part of it. We're going to go 1 to 4 before we turn it over to the Blitz. So if you want to join Nick, Tyler, and myself, give us a call, 713-780-3776. That's the HRP at Listener Line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, we're going to shuffle the deck. Tyler Scott, Nick Sciarra, and yours truly, Joel Blank, as we carry you till 4 o'clock on the Usual Suspects. Tyler, interesting selection on these USA-based songs leading into 4th of July. I found out, quite honestly by mistake, that this is not a song celebrating anything about Born in the USA. It's more about the fight against people that were called into service. And
it's not as much as a patriotic song.
It's more of an anti-Vietnam
Anti-Vietnam song, yeah. I did not know that.
I did not know that either.
Honestly, I just put USA in Spotify, and I'm just playing all songs with USA.
Nothing wrong with that.
Makes sense.
Like your favorite, I mean, I was trying to think of like favorite 4th of July or patriotic type songs. And the old schoolers might say Neil Diamond's America. James Brown will be in there, Coming to America, right? Or Living in America.
Living in America.
Right?
Living in America, yeah. Getting some reaction on the text line in terms of what to do.
Yeah, some good stuff.
So Travis Browder.
Yep.
At Browder_Travis. 3, 2, 1, pineapple juice, soy sauce, water, and marinate for 4 hours with good beef Papacito's fajita recipe. So that's interesting.
That's pretty good.
Somebody on the text line told me to just do it yourself. Someone said don't do it yourself and go to the Mexican meat market like Tyler and
Angel said the same thing. He said, "What is it, Michoacana?"
I think it's Michoacana.
Michoacana.
Okay. Said it's legit. He said it's worth the upcharge and it's great.
Chan tells me I need to hit up Lamont because I forgot. He is kind of
the barbecue griller connoisseur,
Yeah. Totally forgot about that. Also, go to your local app store and download the ESPN app. iTunes, Google Play, search ESPN Houston, ESPN 97.5, and download the app. Listen to all your favorite programming, including The Usual Suspects from anywhere in the world. I kind of wanted to bring up this one baseball story. I know we're going to get into the Astros because that's obviously big. Mm-hmm. But the Bobby Bonilla story and how the fact that he's still getting paid in these really long deferred contracts,
yep.
That's kind of become a trend, I think, initially in baseball. And there's other non-baseball sports that's had those type of contracts.
Right.
So he's getting $1.19 million every July 1. He's been out of the league, 15, 16 years?
A long time. That's either him or his agent making one hell of a deal. But how long does that last?
I believe until 2035, 2030 something. But what I looked up was all these other people that have similar contracts, because I thought it was something that only existed in baseball, and I was just totally wrong. Who would you guess in the NBA world had a similar contract?
That's almost I knew shoe companies like Tracy, McGrady, and Iverson had lifetime deals from Adidas and Reebok. Back in the day, but from a team perspective, to still be paying them, I mean, I know all Rockets fans are going to go Matt Maloney, and that's just not nice. And he did not do that to himself. The Rockets did that, and then they elongated it once he was out of the league. I don't know,
Tyler. Would you guess a non-baseball player that is getting a deferred contract, he's getting paid yearly
after he's done playing?
I feel like maybe Clyde Drexler sounds like he might.
That's a good guess. It's Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett.
From which team?
The Celtics. $35 million. He's due $5 million annually for 7 years. Isn't that crazy?
Right now?
No, I started in 2011. It's just a similar type of contract to what
Bonilla
had. Wow. I mean, baseball players, Manny Ramirez, Matt Holliday, Todd Helton, Ryan Zimmerman, Ryan Braun. There's all I guess they don't necessarily have to retire to get that type of deal.
But are they deferring it till after they're done playing?
They keep deferring it, yeah.
Good for them. It's easy to do if you've got the stash in the bank to make it work while you're deferring, and then once you're done playing. Because the other interesting story, and I don't know if you guys remember Antoine Walker, who played with Paul Pierce back in the Celtics days.
Kentucky
Antoine
guy.
Walker made something $108 million and had to declare bankruptcy. This dude, he had a posse, and his posse of guys, he was paying for them to all fly commercial to every road trip that the Celtics played on. He was picking up their airfare, their hotel, their meals. Then he had a little bit of a gambling addiction.
So why would you do all that,
though? So he blew over $108 million, and now he's actually talking to athletes, rookie symposium, and guys coming into different leagues to try and tell them, hey, look, I also had a huge addiction to cars. And he goes, and I didn't realize till afterwards, I bought a Maybach for $450,000 and didn't realize when I wrote it off the lot, it actually deferred. I mean, the value went down by probably six figures. So he was like, I'm trying to talk these kids into not doing the dumb stuff that I did. But he blew $108 million and had to declare bankruptcy. And I used to go to that Lake Tahoe celebrity tournament every year with friends of mine. And they literally had to take him off the driving range because there was a warrant for his arrest for outstanding gambling debt in Vegas. But because Vegas was associated with Harrah's and the hotels in Tahoe, and there's the Nevada state line, they got him in Tahoe and they transported him to Vegas and said, you either pay this or you're going to be put away. And I don't know if an agent or someone bailed him out, but he's had a lot of financial issues.
So were there players, because in terms of the Rockets, you started in the mid 90s. So you're 94. On the brink of like all these bigger contracts? Well, yeah, I guess they had big contracts in the early 90s too. Like, could you kind of foresee which player, like from their behavior outside the court or off the court, that, all right, this guy's probably going to go bankrupt, or this guy's probably going to go broke? Like, could you see Barkley having that issue?
See, he
like,
never would, because he went bankrupt early in his career. So his agent, his Charles's first agent, basically made Charles have to declare bankruptcy. He was taking money from him left and right to the point where he had to declare bankruptcy. So he was smart. From that point forward, once he declared bankruptcy, there was a guy that was associated with Auburn that was very, very smart financially, that had already been helping companies with investments. And Charles owns apartment buildings, banks, things that will always make sure that he has investments that are going to make his money make money. And he got real smart about it. But there were other guys. I mean, look, you guys might remember Kevin Duckworth, who was the center on the Trailblazers teams when they were going to the finals. And the Duck was the nicest guy on the planet. But he had a 10-car garage, and he didn't have enough room for all his cars. And then inside the house, it was almost like a zoo. He had exotic animals. He had everything from snakes and lizards to like animals and things. And it had like almost like a zoo in his house. Those were just things that, and you're looking at it going, when the money stops, when your career isn't a couple million a year, what are you going to do?
See, what kills me the most is like when some of these athletes make these crazy ass, you know, paychecks, right? And then they have these conversations with people, and it's an absolute waste of time, waste of money, but they still buy it. So like, how did that conversation with Mike Tyson go when he said, hey man, you should have a pet tiger or a, you know, some exotic animal? Like how did that conversation, what made you say I need a pet tiger or I need exotic snakes?
What's
or,
worse is the woman that doesn't have the money of Mike Tyson here in town that had like house pets that were like a Bengal tiger, yeah, and three other exotic cats, and you're going and she's taking pictures like posing with them lounging in her bedroom and bathroom, and you're like, what are you thinking?
Yeah,
how do you feed these things?
But you got to be a good salesman to sell some. For you to go up to somebody and say, I'm going to sell you this tiger and pull it off, like, you got to be a good salesman.
Did you see it? I saw it on the news, though. There's like a black market where people are just pulling up with like fish tanks with a mesh thing over the top and going, you want to buy a cobra? You want to buy this, that, and the other thing? And they're selling them kind of cheap because, look, they don't have paper or anything like that. They're just trying to go get some cash out of them. Who knows where they came from? But why? I don't understand the obsession. So many people are obsessed with snakes. Dwight Howard had a huge... huge snake fetish. Creepy. Just loved having snakes.
He did? Dwight did?
Dwight had...
He still has them all.
Yeah. He actually took a guy that was the manager of the pet store in his neighborhood here in Houston, and I think it's actually in Richmond, and paid him on the side when he wasn't working at the pet store to make sure he took care of all these snakes and reptiles that he had. Yeah.
What a waste of... Well, I mean, if you're a reptile person, but I don't know. That's a waste of money. I love pets. I mean, I love dogs, cats, that kind of thing. But
yeah, it's a bit
reptiles,
much.
Exotic animals. That's not for me.
I don't know. Crazy stuff. But we still got a lot to talk about. We've got the Astros to talk about. I want to talk about Saturday night's game. I know they won again yesterday, and they won another series. But boy, that Saturday night comeback on national TV, I thought was a statement game for the rest of the season. We could talk about the Stros and the fact that they have five All Stars heading to Miami for the All Star game. That's a big thing as well. The team with the best record in the National League, maybe not so much. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, the HRP listener line, you can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. The way I like it, put touchdown on the East Coast, dinner on the
sky rise, winter is the best time for walking on the city lights. This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Usual Suspects, back! On the Monday before the 4th, Lee Greenwood, proud to be an American. God bless the USA. My nephews learned this song in school, and Lisa's dad plays it for him all the time. They literally know it word for word. They sing it constantly, and it's one of their favorite songs. It's the way to make a kid patriotic at a young age, I guess.
I think it's part of your curriculum. It's like for us, there were certain songs that we had to study that we had to know. Like
you had to know Lee Greenwood
in grade school. In grade school, there was certain I don't think it was Lee Greenwood. It was just any type of they'd quiz you on like 10 songs that were considered patriotic or something like that would be linked to like something that you would play like on a 4th of July.
Yeah, Lee Greenwood. It's just kind of odd for me that a kid that young would be like the two kids that would love that song that much. But I give Lisa's dad credit. Grandma and grandpa play it for him in the car all the time, and now they just sing it, and they want to learn how to play it on the piano and all kinds of stuff. So more power to them.
There's a couple of texts real quick, and I know we got to get to the Astros. Using lime is the key for marinating fajitas. I think that's just too simple. I mean, I love lime, and I do use it a lot on meat, steak, fajitas, whatever. But add some more information. This little text is for you. Astros chances to win the AL and World Series this year, Joel?
Well, I mean, it's hard to make a call right now. It all depends on what they do to try and shore up the pitching staff with another starter, an ace, someone that can really bring it. I mean, yesterday was a perfect example. They can stopgap all they want, but when Fires throws 100 pitches in 4 innings and can't hang around long enough, and then the bullpen, which has been suspect lately because of all the extra innings that they've been taking on. McCullers left the game Friday night, and he left with a lead. And before you know it, the bullpen turned a 2-run Astros lead into a blowout where Aoki had to come in and pitch. That says something. So, look, they got the best record in baseball, and you don't want to take anything away from them, but they're a far cry from what they're going to be in the playoffs, and it all depends on what they do between now and the trade deadline to get themselves pitching that can kind of help prevent that from happening come postseason.
And I'm assuming the Sonny Gray talk has kind of died down, or is that still a potential possibility for the Astros?
There's going to be names that are going to continue to pop up. Sonny Gray became the hot name recently. It was Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole, because the Pirates seem to still be hanging around in that crazy muddled up division they have with the Cubs and the Brewers and the Cards. They're probably not going to be sellers just yet. So the other thing I said you have to factor in is with the Dodgers losing Urias, with more and more teams that are in contention losing starting pitching, the demand is going to be higher, but the price is going to go higher. And if you don't act now, if you wait till it's too late or later on, you're going to pay a lot more. So it'll be interesting to see how many teams are actually buyers and which teams are willing to be sellers, especially with guys with contracts that are team-friendly for the next couple years. Chris Archer in Tampa Bay is one, but Tampa Bay's in it, so you don't know what they're going to do. You know, I already said Cole's in Pittsburgh. Sonny Gray, the A's are out of it. So if the A's are willing to play money ball and they're looking for prospects, then you might have a taker. Now, the big hit on the Astros is, and I loved what Jeff Blum said, and he took some heat for it, and I actually stuck up for him on Twitter yesterday. But Polino's whole deal?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that.
Could not have been more annoying. And Blummer, to his credit, was not afraid to say one of the most selfish things that he's ever seen. A team that has the best record in baseball, a locker room that's together, everybody's fighting for the bigger cause of trying to win it all, and a guy goes out and selfishly does what he does, which can not only hurt him for 80 games with a suspension, but more so it hurts the team.
Yeah,
because he was in the rotation. He was someone they were counting on. Now they can't count on him. He has to disappear for 80 games. By the time he comes back, you're never going to see him again this year. And that was selfish. And that was something that Blummer didn't like. And some guy tweeted Blummer and said, why don't you worry about the fact that Bagwell carried you your whole career and shut your mouth?
Luna was, I mean, just looking at the quote, he seemed kind of nice about it, honestly. But, quote, he feels bad about it and feels bad that he's put the organization in this position. He'll learn from it. I'm sure David's going to have a long and fruitful major league career. He's got a lot of talent, but you know, nice words, but that's an 80 game suspension. So that's kind of a big blow for him in the Houston Astros for sure.
I think, somebody last year, I don't know. I saw Jerome Solomon tweeted out that some guy got popped for the same substance and he's banned for life.
Really?
Yeah. I'll have to go back and find a tweet.
Because so they know what substance it was, because it seemed like it was performance enhancing. It wasn't
I looked it up. It's a testosterone, but somebody was saying that it's basically used to help you with, like, so that way you actually eat. Like, I guess he wanted to maintain whatever weight he was at.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't taking this, then he probably would have been losing weight.
Huh.
So it was a testosterone. It was like Boldenone or Boldenone or something like that.
That's interesting.
Because in Pittsburgh, we were talking about them with Garrett Cole, but they're also talking about the fact that McCutcheon's been playing center field because Marte got drilled for 80 games that it's about to expire, where he's about to come back, and they thought, will he go back to center field? And they said, absolutely not, that McCutcheon's going to stay where he's at, and they're going to try. So he was a guy that was a huge part of their lineup last year that's been out for 80 games. So I know that they're flying around, and the suspensions have been, pretty severe when you get popped. But the thing is like Blummer was bringing up, I mean, at one point, do you think that you're going to get to a situation where you can start forgetting about this, that guys are going to learn, look, the process is in place for a reason, and it's a lot tighter and a lot more strict than it has been in the past in terms of the testing and the monitoring and making sure that if you're doing something illegal, they can catch you. Guys think that they can be sneaky, but at the end of the day, they're only hurting themselves and they're hurting the team. And in the case of the Astros, especially with how depleted the pitching staff is, it can hurt pretty severely.
So I did some research. Is it Mejia from the Mets, producer Tyler? I think that was banned for life for the PEDs. That's the only name that I could see that popped up. I don't know if it rings a bell to you, but...
What was the guy's name?
John Ray Mejia from the Mets?
Yeah, that was the guy.
He was the one that was banned for life. He was a 26-year-old, and I think he was initially popped once and got suspended 80 games. I guess he got popped again.
He got the lifetime ban because of the repeat offender?
Because of the second time.
Okay. I thought if it was because of what he took, that would be...
Stanzolol? I don't even know what that is. Stanozol?
You'd take it, though, if you could get your hands on it.
I might. I don't get the whole deal. I guess, like in the MMA world, I think that's unfair. I used to say that about MMA, too. Like, man, what's the big deal? If everybody takes PEDs... then shoot, just let everybody do it. But I guess it can get kind of dangerous. I just don't get it. I mean, the second they add something on the ban list, they're going to come up with an alternative. That ban list is going to be, you're going to have to study it. Like, if you're an athlete, you're going to have...
But here's the thing.
You have to be a professional and study that.
The players maybe, not that they get a pass completely, and they're dealing with the training staff of teams more so than anything else, but the agents themselves can have people in place that can be there to tell these guys, look, no matter what you do, no matter what you think is going to help you, these are the ones that you stay away from. Because everybody's like, oh, I didn't know. I mean, that naivety thing doesn't work anymore because you're getting paid millions of dollars. The agents are bringing in millions of dollars to where they can have a guy. They could, for God's sake, they could hire a pharmacist full time to just be able to say, these are the substances. And whether you see it by this name or in a product like this, you can't take anything that has this in it. You got to be more aware of it because it's obviously prevalent and it's going through all of professional sports, but that's on you. Whether it's you personally or your agency or whatever, the same way you hire a chef, people can hire nutritionists that say, this is stuff you can take and I'm going to give it to you in a shake form or whatever.
Right.
And this is stuff you can't take.
Yeah. I mean, it's really at this point, especially when you're a millionaire, like you mentioned, you're a millionaire, you have the resources to kind of educate yourself or hire someone to educate themselves for you. There's no excuse at this point. You're just trying to beat the system at this point.
So forget beating the system. The Astros beat a team because one of the knocks that I kept getting comments on Twitter about was, look, they've played well, their division sucks, so they're just stockpiling on bad teams, and the biggest thing is they got to beat teams that are relevant. They didn't beat the Royals, and they lost two series. They didn't beat the Indians, and they lost both series, and those are going to leave a mark until they can beat a good team. This is the second time now that they've won a series against the Yankees. They took 3 of 4 in New York. They took 2 of 3 this weekend. And I think the fashion in which they won Saturday night and the fact that it was a national TV or a regional national TV audience on Fox, that was a game that I think is going to stick around for a while.
That was the game in the series for sure.
Yeah, I thought that was a big one. I thought the way they did it, I thought the fact that their offense was able to do it against two of the best relief pitchers in baseball, it said a lot. It goes a long way for how far this team can go and how much talent they have on this team. So if you want to talk Astros, we definitely can do that. 713-780-3776. 3776, or you can hit us up on Twitter at Producer T Scott, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are fielding all of your inquiries from now until 4 o'clock. So feel free to join us. We'd love to have you. Right now, before we get to the break, I want to tell you guys about the No Excuses Summer Pro League. If you want to see the LA Clippers live and in person, well, you don't have to go to Los Angeles. You can see them at the Fondy Rec Center because Patrick Beverly, Montrezl Harrell, they're all going to be there. A lot of NBA talent plays in the NBA type setup that is the No Excuses Summer Pro League. You've heard of the Drew League in LA. You've heard of Rucker Park in New York. Well, this league right here, the No Excuses Summer Pro League, right in your own backyard, right in downtown Houston at Fondy Rec Center, has NBA talent in every game, every night they play. They play Mondays and Wednesdays. They start July the 5th, and they start with a night filled with a slam dunk contest, 3-point shootout, and all the games, and you can get in for absolutely free. It's the number one pro-am league in the state of Texas. Like I said, Jonathan Simmons of the Spurs that played at U of H, Joe Young who played at U of H who plays for the Pacers, Isaiah Cannon, the ex-Rocket, along with Patrick Beverly, Montrezl Harrell, and a whole lot more. They're all going to play in it, and you can take the whole family or all your friends and check it out for free. For more information, noexcusesfoundation.net, noexcusesfoundation.net, the No Excuses Summer Pro League at Fondy Rec Center. Check it out.
ESPN 97.5.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. It's Tyler, it's Nick, it's Joel. We're here till 4. Barry is enjoying lots of food and some time off. We were talking about the Astros before the break. I was really impressed with Saturday night's victory.
Yeah, that was the best game of the series for sure, right?
Yeah, and the fact that they got Betances and Chapman in the eighth and then the ninth. Chapman had to come in trying to get a four-out save, and they just continued to string hits and runs together. They used all different variations. They used the long ball. They played small ball to get a run in. They were stealing bases on Betances, who wasn't holding anybody on. But they came from behind in a situation that was a little bit irregular to what they've been used to when they've had the big seventh innings and they've really had, you know, monster seven-plus, eight-plus inning, crooked number innings in the seventh inning. This is coming from behind against one of the best bullpens in the closing eighth and ninth inning of any team in the league. And having to pick themselves up off the mat after getting knocked down and really pounded after it looked like they were in control of the game. I just think for a lot of reasons that was a statement game that said to anybody and everybody, look, this is not the old Astros. This is not Houston.
Yeah,
this
that's
is a team that can come back.
2 or 3 years ago, they wouldn't have been able to come back at all.
Right.
I mean, that's what I was talking to with Grandpa Perry on the Reality Check program. But, I mean, is it because of their you know, how explosive they are on offense, they're able to make these comebacks? Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to do these, make a comeback. I know they haven't made multiple comebacks this season, but is it because of the explosive offense that they have?
I think because that 1 through 9, they have built as solid an offensive team as any team in the major leagues. And the fact that last year the big problem was 5 through 9, no one was hitting after you got to the heart of the order. The bottom half of the lineup was terrible. Now with guys like Gurriel and Bregman and whoever you care to put into, you know, one of the many different positions, you can play Marwin, you can play Aoki, Springer's hitting the cover off of it leading off, but Reddick, wherever you put him, has been on fire. No coincidence ever since he's been on this show. But everybody is putting it together. When you're in the lineup, they're raking. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, you look at what they did in that last inning to come from behind, and Altuve got on and stole second and third because Betances couldn't hold him on. And so they played small ball, and Correa knocked him in. You thought, well, that's one, but they still need more. Then Gattis went deep. So they showed you they can play small ball, and they can really muscle up when they have to. And then it was just a barrage of just solid hitting where they were laying off a slider. They were laying off, you know, tempting pitches to hit the pitch that they wanted and drive it somewhere. And you can't say enough about Yuli Gurriel in this series. And I felt like one of the things missing both from Fox's broadcast and from Root Sports, because they had him on yesterday and they had an interpreter, was how much from being from Cuba when you face Chapman from Cuba, how many times have you seen him? Did you know what he was going to throw? Did you have an inkling, having faced him, new tendencies? Because, boy, I mean, for him to turn around 101, 102 mile an hour fastball and drive it right down the line and pull it.
But he was also, he fouled off two or three pitches before that.
Right.
So I think he knew, I mean, obviously, I think he probably had a guess, as Raheel said it earlier, as to what a guy who normally throws a 100 mile an hour ball, what he's going to throw in that instance. And he turned on a couple of them, fouled them off. And then the one that he actually got a hit, he probably knew, okay, maybe I should lay off just a little bit, and then went right down the third base line.
Well, and the key with two strikes is prepare for the hardest of what you're going to face. So prepare for 102, and if you don't get it, you can still adjust a little bit because you can see the spin, or you know that it's not coming right on you real quick, where you can adjust. But prepare for the worst, which would be the 102 mile an hour fastball, and then adjust to the rest, whether it be a curveball, slider, changeup. But he definitely was having problems locating it, because they showed several times that was supposed to be another outside low pitch that he just kind of got in on.
Kind of coming inside
on him. But still, to turn on a pitch 102 coming in on you and get the barrel on it, pretty impressive. He was 4 of 8 in the series, I think, with a couple of long balls, a couple of doubles. When he starts hitting like that and you add him to the top of that lineup, boy, they're tough to beat, man.
Yeah, it's impressive, obviously, because he did it because the count got deep. But A.J. Hinch called it one of the most mature at-bats that he's ever seen. Like, it's like a very special at-bat. So for him to be able to pull that up off that late in the pitch count, I think that's real impressive by Gurriel. So I expect nothing but good things. I really am interested in what the potential additions are going to be for the Astros, though, for sure.
Well, and the thing is, too, what you have to give up. Because, you know, Martez is what he is. I mean, he's got a live fastball. He looked a lot better Saturday night. But he's been up and down. Polino was a guy that they were dangling as one of the prospects that they could possibly trade. Derek Fisher's a name that came up, and he looked good when he was called up. So that helps the stock when you're trying to make a deal. But the big thing for me is don't touch anybody on the major league roster, and don't clear the cupboards completely, because they've done a great job replenishing what was a depleted farm system. But if you don't have to give up too much, and right now they were saying Fisher, probably one pitching prospect, high pitching prospect, like a Martez or would have been Polino, and then maybe one chancy or iffy, you know, A, double A type player should get you a Garrett Cole, could get you a Sonny Graves, could get you, I don't know if it gets you a Quintana, though he's been struggling in Chicago. But like I said, the more teams that are going to start getting in the arms race and saying, we need one too, the price is going to go up, and that's where you don't want to touch the major league roster.
I wonder what you were at Saturday's game. Was it Yankees heavy? Was it more Yankees fan? Or no, you were at Sunday's game.
But Saturday.
Did you go to either one of the games?
I didn't go to any of them, though.
I've heard.
I wish I did.
And Barry was also tweeting about this, but I also heard from people that said there was a pretty solid Yankee contingent at the games.
I mean, there always is.
Yeah, because I went to it last year. I didn't go to this year, but I went to it last year, and it's pretty. They're pretty strong.
Say Yankees, Red Sox, Cubs, Braves.
I saw the numbers from this last game. The only series that had more people over the three game was Red Sox in 2008, and that's the most that they've ever had in a three game series.
And you know what's crazy too is that they jacked the prices up for the big games.
Because they can get away
Rockets
with it.
Rockets do it too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So for the Red Sox, the Yankees, for like the Cavs and the Warriors, if you're buying individual game tickets, you're paying a premium. You're paying more than you would pay for a regular, for the same ticket, for the same seat, for a game against the Nuggets. You're probably paying $25, $50 more per ticket to see a bigger name team. So for the Red Sox, for the Yankees, they jacked the price up. But again, like we're talking about, because Houston's a lot of transplants too. And because when kids were growing up, superstations were big. So you could see the Cubs all the time, the Braves all the time. But ever since I've lived in Houston, if you go to a Cubs game, a Braves game, a Yankees game, or a Red Sox game, you're going to see the other team have a a lot of fans.
Yeah, I mean, last year, like I said, the Yankees fan, they didn't go away. Like, they went to the game pretty early. They were at the game. After the game, they're at the bar across the street. I mean, they just kind of linger. They travel well. They're rowdy. I mean, there's certain teams that can really, and like you mentioned, you pretty much hit all the major teams. Red Sox, the Braves travel well. Who else travels well?
The Cubs
obviously travel well.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the kind of situation. But look, I've seen plenty of games in New York, too, and they're passionate fans. But, I mean, there's been some times that I'm like we went to a game a couple years ago, and they were playing the Rays when the Rays were good. And this guy kept standing up and cheering when the Rays were scoring early. And they started chanting, sit down, a-hole. And I mean, but they were saying it. And it got worse to the point where the guy started, like, rubbing it in when they scored another run. And the guy sitting in front of me with a girl and I think a kid said, yo, bro, say one more word and I'm going back to my car. I got a gun and I'm going to – and I'm like, all right. At that point, it's a little bit too much for me. That's a little bit more than sports. But, yeah, Yankee fans are passionate.
Still on my bucket list, but I wish I went to the old Yankee Stadium first. But
I saw both of them.
But the new one is still on my bucket list for sure.
Yeah, I saw both of them, but – Yankee Stadium, the old Yankee Stadium, you could feel the history. Like Wrigley Field. You can feel it in certain stadiums still, and Fenway's like that too. But boy, I'll tell you what, old Yankee Stadium, it had a feel to it. Like you could tell that the guys were playing in the 1920s there. All right, so we continue to roll. We got 1 hour in the books, two to go, plenty more show, and lots to get to. Five All-Stars from your Houston Astros. The best record in baseball. The best record in the National League? None. At least in the starting lineup. So we can talk about that. You guys did your part, voted your guys in, which is great. Some Dodgers had a few less than, some choice words about some less than stellar support from their fan base. So we can get to that and a whole lot more. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.